This is America Weekend, a new kind of radio because life doesn't stop on the weekends. Hello, I am Paul Harris. Thanks for listening. My next guest is a 3D artist. Now, we've talked a lot in the last month or so about 3D printers and what's possible with them. Heather Dewey Hagberg uses a 3D printer to make 3D portraits of people's faces. But the people whose portraits she's making don't know that she's doing that. They also don't know that she is using their DNA to make those 3D portraits. The result, however, is fairly remarkable. So I've asked her to come on and talk a little bit about this odd kind of art that she's making. I know odd is a word artists never like to hear applied to their work, but maybe it's the process that seems a little bit odd to me. Heather, welcome to America Weekend.
Hi, thank you.
How do you collect the DNA?
Well, I go about my daily routines in New York City where I live, and when I come across what looks like a good, fresh forensic sample on the street or on the subway, wherever I happen to be, I'll collect it, and then I take it into a DIY biology lab, a do-it-yourself lab in downtown Brooklyn, where they have all of the equipment and chemicals for me to extract DNA from these samples.
So when you talk about forensic evidence, you're talking about chewed gum that's been spit out and pieces of cigarette butts and that sort of stuff?
That's right, yeah. Anything that you may have left behind in some public space that you may or may not be aware that you dropped could potentially be mined for genetic information.
Okay, mined for genetic information. I have to say, every time I think about your story, I think this is a science fiction story from the future that you're actually doing in the present. You take that DNA to, a DIY, do-it-yourself lab.
Yeah.
I didn't know there were places you could go by yourself as a consumer and extract DNA from things.
Yeah, well, you know, I come from a background looking at privacy issues related to surveillance in terms of things like facial recognition and security cameras and thinking about the data that we leave online, right? There's been a lot of discussion about privacy related to things like Facebook. And so when I started thinking about the genetic information we're leaving behind, it seemed logical to look at these kind of privacy issues.
Okay, so you gather that stuff, you take it to the lab, you extract the DNA, and you don't know anything about the person whose DNA you have extracted, right?
That's right. It's actually completely anonymous.
Okay, so from there, how much detail can you get in the 3D art that you eventually print on your 3D printer?
Yeah, so you know, I'm still really just in the beginning phases of this project, and I have a kind of master list of about 50 different traits that I'm interested in looking at, which I can potentially extract from the DNA. At this moment in time, I've looked at 5 different traits, and so the first trait is your maternal ancestry or your ethnicity. The second one is your gender. The third one is your eye color. The fourth one is a dimension related to the size of your nose. And the fifth one is a tendency to be overweight. So right now I have those 5 factors feeding into the creation of a kind of sketch, but in 3 dimensions.
By looking at someone's DNA, you can know how big their nose was and how big their butt was?
Well, we're talking about correlation. So basically these traits are based on these genome-wide association studies. They're based on lots and lots of different people's DNA. So they look at all of these different genomes, and they look at specific traits, and they find correlations. So people with one particular base pair here tend to have a slightly bigger nose. So that's how those kind of correlations get drawn.
Okay, and are there also correlations between those factors and the person's ancestry, which you said you could also determine?
Well, I don't think I've seen any particular studies, drawing those next level correlations. So I'm just going sort of on the primary information so far.
Okay. So once you've extracted the DNA and you've analyzed the DNA, how then do you turn that into the portrait?
Well, I'm using software, the code that I'm writing myself, but it's really similar to the process that a police sketch artist would use. You know, basically taking these traits, and let's say that you had an eyewitness, they could say the same thing, right? They could say this person was of this particular background. They were a little overweight. They had brown eyes. If they even noticed that, they probably wouldn't even notice the detail that small. So I'm just taking all those traits and feeding them into this code that I'm working on. And this creates a 3D model of the face based on this information.
How much should I be worried about identity theft here? If you can make a model that looks reasonably close to my face so that other people would look at it and go, oh, that looks like Paul, should I worry that you could put that face over your face and walk around as me?
Well, that's one application. I mean, I think that perhaps the more realistic concern is that your DNA could be extracted from something you leave behind and someone could use that to spoof their own DNA, for example.
To do what?
To kind of spoof or fake your DNA as theirs. That would be something that I might be concerned about, right? Someone could take your DNA from a sample on the street, turn that into a kind of perfume, and wear your DNA around.
To what end?
Perhaps to mask their own DNA if they're doing something, you know, unsavory.
Are there laws covering this?
Well, I think I'm actually going to be meeting with some policymakers on Monday in Washington, D.C., so I think I'll get the lowdown on that then. But to my understanding right now, the U.S. does not have very, very strong or, you know, federal-level regulations relating to this kind of, you know, privacy and DNA yet. It will be interesting to see how it develops. There are, you know, some countries in Europe who are a little ahead of the game on regulating this stuff. And there are a couple states in the U.S. that have state-level regulations relating to things like whether the police can do this kind of process for, you know, actual forensic samples. So the short answer is no, there aren't regulations that I know of.
Now, what about at the positive end of that spectrum? I'm curious if somebody who had gotten burned on the face, could they hire you to make a replica of what their face used to look like just based on their DNA?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's like a lot of really cool and positive applications of this technology. I think that's a really amazing idea. I mean, keep in mind that this is still really early days, so we have a long way to go before we approach the actual, you know, facial reconstruction level of detail that you might want. But there's a lot of really interesting applications. Another one that I'm, you know, I've been thinking about, someone contacted me recently who works with ancient mummies, and how cool would it be to recreate the faces of these, you know, ancient pharaohs, for example. So there's a lot of really interesting applications. There's just also some things to, you know, to worry about a little bit in the application of law enforcement and privacy on the street.
Well, I think there are certainly all sorts of real-life concerns, but my concern here, Heather, is why you haven't written a script based on what you're doing, because this is a Hollywood movie waiting to happen. This could be Face Off 2. Get Travolta and Cage on the phone.
That was a good idea. I'm not a writer, but maybe if someone would like to work with me, I'd be open to that.
Have you heard from anyone whose face you have recreated now that they are available on the Internet and people may have seen some of your work?
Well, you know, every once in a while I do get contacted by someone who thinks that they look similar to the faces. But at this point, again, you know, I would stress it's still really early in this process for this technology and for the science as well. And so it's very unlikely that it's going to be, you know, that someone would actually recognize themselves at this point in time.
The interesting thing would be if they were to say, hey, wait a second, I own me. You can't make me. Right. I own me.
Right. It would be interesting. I mean, I think that that's still a little bit ways in the future. That's still slightly science fiction. But as we can see from the recent Supreme Court cases, you know, the question of whether you own you is actually legally up for debate.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. I talked to a guest last week who was talking about how there are all sorts of things in our body being patented by Big Pharma now. Last question I have for you is, how much does this cost right now? I know it's going to come down in price as the technology moves forward, but right now, when you make a 3D portrait of somebody, how much out of pocket?
So not including my time, of course, it costs about $300 to $500.
That's a lot cheaper than I thought it was. $300 to $500 now. This thing's going to be $100 pretty soon. And, you know, you say this is a long way off. I thought what you're doing was a long way off. I don't think the next steps are going to be. But it's fascinating, Heather, and I thank you for joining me here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That is Heather Dewey Hagberg, who is doing these 3D portraits of you based on the DNA you left behind in the trash. Remarkable stuff. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend. America.